I'm going to start over in Proverbs 29:2, this scripture. So we talk about vote 24, the choice. When the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in power, they groan. Once again, when the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in power, they groan. Church, this means that we have an interest and responsibility to make sure that the godly rule. Are you here today? Amen. It's estimated that between 30 and 50 million evangelical Christians did not vote in 2020. Let me throw that out there again. Between 30 and 50 million. And some are estimating similar voting trends this year. This ought not be. If anybody should understand liberty and the cost of liberty, it should be the Christian. So make sure you vote. You can vote early in Kentucky real soon. And I want to encourage you to make sure that you do that. And I am prophesying as well as being realistic. There are going to be long lines.
Amen.
You stay in that line.
Amen.
Can I have a better amen today?
Amen.
See, Pastor, politics have no place in the church. I'm sorry, but you stumbled into the wrong place today. Because throughout the Word of God, we have seen bold people of God get right up in the face of politicians and rulers and kings to tell them the truth. People like Elijah rebuked Ahab, but then after defeating the prophets, sent word to Jezebel. Of course, Jezebel returned with a threat, but you can understand he was bold to do so. Moses confronted Pharaoh repeatedly. Isaiah confronted kings. Nathan rebuked David. John the Baptist confronted Herod. Jesus challenged Pilate with the truth. Paul confronted Agrippa. And you can go through the pages after pages of the Word of God and find people were not afraid to speak the truth to power.
Amen. That's right.
But a lot of people in the pulpit in the past 20, 30, 40 years have been terrified to preach truth to the people about these things. Now, don't misunderstand for a moment. We are not voting for a Savior.
No.
We have one.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
And only He can solve the real problem.
Yeah.
The sin and its consequences. Amen. The truth is, it's America for Jesus. He is the only hope. But if you hide behind that principle and say, well, then, you know, I have no responsibility. I have no interest in this. Why should I get involved? You know, after all, Jesus is king. That's exactly right. But you should still care about what is happening in your nation. Unless you live under a rock, you know, 1,500 meters below sea level, you know something's not right. Remember, you're not voting for a saint. You're not voting for a Sunday school teacher or superintendent. You're not voting for a pastor. Both of these candidates that are now presented to this nation are severely flawed human beings. Shocking. They have a history just like you. Nonetheless, every believer should care and vote because your vote is not just a number to be counted on election day. Or in the case of some of these states, a week later. Your vote is a seed of righteousness sown into the fabric of this nation.
Amen.
Say that with me. My vote is not a number.
It's a
seed sown into the fabric of this nation. You say, well, I get my vote count. Maybe I'll be on the winning side. Maybe I'll be losing. It's not that point. The point is you're inserting your righteousness into this process as a seed. And there's a spiritual dimension that most Christians don't understand.
Yep.
And when you don't vote, you don't sow.
Right.
You bet. So let me start with this, because I have a lot to say. I was raised in a middle-class family. In southern Illinois, and two parents worked hard to give us a good upbringing. Just wanted to get your attention today. Before I tell you how to assess with some very smart and sharp rubrics today, these candidates, I want to tell you how not to pick a candidate. Do not pick a candidate based on the party. Republicans in my lifetime have become Democrats, and a lot of Democrats have become socialists in this nation. We no longer have the party of Reagan or Kennedy. If you think that's true, then you are not dealing with reality. They're gone. More than ever, you've got to look at the efficacy of each candidate and make a decision based on the parameters I'm giving you today and not with respect to party. I shared this Wednesday with the church. My grandma, Anna Hines, you remember Anna Hines? I'm going to die. She was a lifelong Democrat. My grandpa Hines was a lifelong Republican. He came to her one day and he said, you know, Anne, he goes, you're a Democrat. I know how you're going to vote. He says, I'm a Republican. I know how I'm going to vote. Wouldn't you imagine they had some fun conversations in their house? And he said to her, so, you know, there's no point in us voting because you're going to vote one way, I'm going to vote the other, and we're going to cancel each other out. So years and years and years went by, and her friend said, Anna, are you going to the polls today? And no, we decided years ago that we weren't going to vote. And that's when they informed her that your husband's been voting in every single election for years and years and years. Amen. There are two farmers in Illinois, and they're getting up in age. And one farmer said to the other one, he goes, are you afraid of dying? He goes, no, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of dying and voting Democrat. Yeah. If you're from Illinois, you understand that vote. Yes. It's important for you to understand that we can laugh about differences and rally around values that are important to this nation. Does that make sense? One of my favorite Reagan jokes, and he was always telling jokes, he said, you know, there's a Democrat convention, fundraiser in a certain venue, and outside that venue, there's a little boy, and he was selling newborn puppies. And he would yell out, Democrat puppies for sale. Democrat puppies for sale. Democrat puppies for sale. And of course, I imagine he sold some of those. And so, you know, a week later, the Republicans had the building for a fundraiser. And all of a sudden, this little boy's saying, Republican puppies for sale, Republican puppies for sale. And a New York Times reporter was there and said, hey, kid, what's up with this? Last week, there were Democrat puppies, and now they're Republican puppies. He goes, what's up with that? He goes, well, now they have their eyes open. Now, don't get offended. If you have a propensity to get offended, you are not going to like this message. So just go ahead and forgive me and move on, amen, so you don't lose the victory. Do not pick number two, your candidate, based on personality. Mean tweets. They're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats. Who cares? Or somebody can cackle, cackle, cackle like nobody. We got the mean tweeter and the cackler. At the end of the day, the personality is irrelevant. But you'd be amazed how many people pick a candidate based on how they think their candidate is likable in their personality. No. Do not pick a candidate based on prejudice, based on gender, based on color. It doesn't make any difference what they are. Black, white, in Trump's color, orange, whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't make any difference what gender they are. And there are only two. Say, I'm not going to vote for somebody because they're a female. You're not being a person of great character. You say, I'm not going to vote for somebody because they have a certain color. Or if you say, I'm going to vote for somebody because they're a certain color, you're just as part of the problem. Yeah. Are you here today? Yeah. And you'd be amazed. And I'll just tell you this, that somebody who refuses to vote for somebody, and that's the only reason they did that, you're missing an opportunity to see some outstanding things happen in this nation. Next, don't pick the candidate based on the press. If you haven't figured it out by now, the media is corrupt. They no longer have, you know, fulfilled their role as truth tellers. They can't be trusted, period. You say just certain ones? No, across the board, this is the problem. There are a few people out there independently just giving you the news and letting you believe what you can believe based on the facts, but everyone seems to feel like it's their job now to influence. It is not the job of the press to influence you.
No, that's right.
They have corrupted their purpose. Do not pick a candidate based on the pundits. These ideologues that show up on the television screen, on the radio, and they simply spout off talking points left and right. And they all sound the same because they're reading from the same page, literally.
Yep.
Next, do not pick based on peer pressure. My family, my friends, my union, my association. No, you need to discern as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. You need to discern the situation and make up your own mind.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, fam, I love you, but you know what? I'm going to discern this situation. You know, most of you know Kelly's story, how she, in these last few years, have got to meet, family she didn't know she had. And one she has is a brother for sure. They're like four brothers, and she's gotten kind of close to one of them. And her biological dad passed away before she ever chanced to meet him. But, you know, his brothers, one of those uncles, actually disowned, basically, his kids because they were Trump supporters in 2016. This man recently died having had a schism in his family over a vote. Look at somebody and smile and say, don't be that stupid. But that is indicative of the way people think right now in this nation. Amen. Well, if I don't base it on the party, personality, prejudice, the press, the pundits, or peer pressure, what do I base it on? You base it on their platform because platforms become policy. Strip everything else away and find out what is believed. Now, if you're going to assess a candidate today, I recommend you assess a candidate by three particular parameters. The first one is the biblical and most important assessment.
Amen.
How does a policy, how does a platform line up with the principles and the values of the Word of God? You know, when Bill Clinton was running his first election, they would tell him every day, it's the economy, stupid. It's the economy, stupid. It's what matters. And yes, it is important. But what really matters is what does the Bible say? So everybody say it boldly with a smile. It's the Bible, stupid.
It's the Bible, stupid.
Say it again like you mean it now. I'm in a word church after all. Which means if you are born again, the most relevant influence of your vote should be the Word of God.
Amen.
Over every other parameter, including money. Say it with me. It's the Bible.
It's the Bible.
Stay a bit. So ask yourself these questions. Does the platform celebrate or exclude God? The DNC formally removed their references to God Almighty years ago. It's important you understand that the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. By inference, if they're blessed, if God is the Lord, then we're not blessed if He's not. I mean, right there, you could stop and make a decision. It's all the battle over the world view. Is man at the center of the world or is God at the center of the universe? And that's what you're seeing here. That's why it's so intense spiritually. It is a battle that goes beyond just personalities and people and parties. It is a spiritual warfare going on. I believe that God is God.
Amen.
I believe that the Lord is Lord. He is the Creator.
Amen.
And any group of people who want to dishonor Him and disrespect Him and toss Him aside, I can't be a part of that.
Amen.
Does the platforms reflect light or darkness, purity or perversion? Philippians 2:15 says, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Does everything go? Not for the Christian. Is everything okay? Well, you know, that's their thing. No, we have to stand up for what is right.
Yes.
If you would just look at any kind of candidate at any level and say, is there darkness there or is there light there? Is there purity there or is there perversion there? And make up your mind to say, you know what? Yeah, everybody is flawed. Everybody has problems. But what is the overarching theme there? Pushing people towards the truth of what God's standard is, or modeling and pushing people towards compromise? That's gone way beyond just a culture war. This is a spiritual war that we're in. Does the platform advocate for life or death? This is what God said to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Galatians 1:15, Paul said, but when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace. They argue when his life began. Viability at conception, at this week, at that week. In the mind of God, life begins in the mind of God before conception. Amen. And when you smite a child's life, you smite the plan of God for that child and for this world. In Psalm 139, 14, the scripture says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Look at somebody and smile and say, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You matter. You're here by design. Hallelujah. Well, I was an unplanned pregnancy. Well, a lot of people are. Right here on this platform, right here in this church, with my mom and dad sitting there, I said, well, I was planned, wasn't I? No answer. I had to go pray in the Holy Ghost for weeks. It's what God plans. And God has planned you. And God has a purpose for your life today. The ancients in the Near East would sacrifice to Moloch their children in hopes of having a better life for those that were actually on the planet. We don't sacrifice our children in the name of our own selfish interests. But that's what's going on. And an official party platform that's dedicated to death versus life, I'm sorry, I can't go there. They deserve to live and grow and play and work and get married and have kids and accomplish something. And you say, well, it's my body, my choice. It was your choice, but it's not your body. It's God's body he put in there. And you were bought with a price. Just as much as we have to be bold for life, we have to be bold for those that have been led down that path of destruction. These ladies all over the world who were told it's basically just clumps of cells. Deceived into doing something that had they had all the facts, they wouldn't have done. Now, some are so hard-hearted, it doesn't matter. Some, it's just a form of birth control, but many are not that way. Lisa Marie Presley's daughter finished her memoir, her mother's memoir, and she said, my biggest regret in life is having an abortion. That's the reality. There's hurt there. There's wounds there. And the church shouldn't heap condemnation. They would help people get over that, through that grief, and come back to a place of victory. And listen to me, if you're in this building or watching online, your child is safe in the arms of God right now. You can't kill a human being. It is an eternal being. One day you'll go to heaven and this person will run up to you and say, Mama, I forgave you a long time ago. Let's have a party. Hallelujah. Welcome to glory. Amen. That needs to be your mindset. But that does not mean we should not be advocating for the health and the welfare and the protection of the unborn, the most defenseless among us. Exodus 20:13 makes it simple. Thou shalt not kill. It couldn't be any plainer. Bible says, in John chapter 1, verse 41 through 44, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the second of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." The baby had joy in the womb. The baby feels emotion, feels pain. It did not say that a lump of fetal cells jumped for joy. Ben Carson said, "If they're not human, then why are you harvesting and selling their body parts?" Mm-hmm. When couples do a gender reveal, they don't announce, "We're having male fetal cells." They say, "We're having a boy." "We're having a girl." Abortion is when a baby gets the death penalty for the actions of others. That's a deal breaker for me. Death on a platform is a deal breaker for me. Life on a platform, that's what motivates me.
Amen.
Does a platform promote God's creative design for sexuality, gender identity, and marriage, or a perversion of that design? Make no mistake about it. This gender war that's going on is an attack on the sovereign creative ability of your God.
Amen.
Plain and simple. In the beginning, Bible says, He made them male and female. Genesis 1:27, Matthew 19:4. Leviticus 18:22, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." The critics say, "Well, that's under the old covenant. That's under the old covenant." Well, read Romans chapter 1, verse 26. "Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error." You cannot institutionalize things that God in His Word condemns and say it's okay for that to be in your platform. At the same time, you should not be discriminating against somebody. You should not go after somebody. You should not be putting them down. You should be praying for them. Reaching out to the deceived, not condemning the deceived, but you can't codify sin in the name of tolerance. Jerry Falwell said it best, "God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve." Deuteronomy 22:5, "The woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord." The Bible's not silent on this cultural phenomenon. If you're born a man and you think you're a woman, by definition, you're disturbed. And if you want to stay in that case, then fine, be that way. But don't expect me to enter into your delusion. And certainly don't make it a point of political pressure. I'm sorry, but this fellow, the you know, whatever they want to call her, it works in the administration right now. He wears a uniform. I guess he works for the Surgeon General's office. He dresses up in a uniform, and he's clearly a man. He's dressed up as a woman. He is a trans person. Now, I'm sorry, but I'm going to call it as I see it. And if you don't like it, don't let the door hit you as you're going out today. Come back next Sunday. That fellow's ugly as a man. He's hideous as a woman. Slipping minors, puberty-blocking drugs without parental permission. Not fake news. Washington University, St. Louis Children's Hospital. A person of a different lifestyle, a lesbian woman, actually turned them in for doing this. Because you know what? As an adult, we make choices. But these kids are being subjected to things that are flat wrong. And in some cases, the parents are kept out of the loop together. Performing sex change operations on inmates on taxpayers' expense. There's no excuse for it. Men and women sports. It's unfair. It's dangerous, and it's just ridiculous. I trained all my life with men and women swimmers, and I can tell you that there's always an advantage. The way the male body is constructed, testosterone levels, development, bone density, muscle striata, everything about a man is still a man after they begin to go ahead and let their hair grow and put on a one-piece suit. And it's flat wrong. There's a reason why there's always been a division of sports together because of that issue. You have the strong support of this across the board. In some cases, you have, you know, equal, you know, opposition to it. It shouldn't be that difficult to understand. If I had a daughter, and I can tell you this, I have a granddaughter, and I'll never allow to sit back and watch that happen. Where some Neanderthal gets to play in the same arena as the ladies. This all speaks to an attack on God's sovereignty and His creative intentions. He made them what? Male and female. It's clear biblically. From a platform standpoint, what a Christian can do in terms of their vote and what they can't do. Now, this institution, the church, doesn't endorse anybody. That doesn't mean I don't have my right to my own opinion. As well as you. But I can tell you this, to me, from a biblical standpoint, from what I just told you, there is one party that is a party of death and darkness, and there is another party that right now is a party of life and light. Selah. But it's not just the biblical assessment, it's the constitutional assessment. Is it America first or America last? Are we just a citizen nation in a globalist vision? Let me tell you it flat out. We are either patriots or we are globalists, but we can't be both. And the Constitution sets in order not a path to globalism, but an established, you know, absolutely fixed opinion about being patriots in this nation.
Yep. Yeah.
Listen to how the presidential oath of office goes. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. The oath of office is a sacred vow that says, I will put America first. Which means I take care of my vets on the street before I watch people come into this door illegally and give them housing in a 5-star hotel and give them food and give them education and give them a health care card. 20 of them dying by suicide daily after fighting for that Constitution. They took the similar oath when they went into the military. We owe them more than that. For some cynical ploy to get more people in and get more votes. I can tell you what's hilarious to me. That entire ploy has blown up. Because guess what? The American naturalized Latino and Hispanic voters don't like open borders. They're hardworking. Most of them a Catholic background, pro-life. Just want an opportunity. And their attitude is, like all of us should have, we came in legally, so should they.
Amen.
Understand that our Constitution is a covenant between the American people and its government. And God expects us to keep covenant.
Yes.
The Constitution affords, and parties afford, a process of allowing people to vote even for their candidate. But after President Biden received 14 million votes in the primary, he was kicked to the curb and replaced with somebody that had not a single vote. A candidate was coronated and replaced, you know, of one who actually had won the vote. I want to announce something today. I have as many votes in primaries as Kamala Harris. Thank you. If you want my autograph, I'll see you after service. I have little to nothing in common with President Biden. But I can respect his love and dedication for his family. And I can respect the fact that as a young, I think he was the youngest senator ever elected at the time, serving this country all those years based on his own thoughts and ideology, he did not deserve to be kicked to the curb after getting 14 million votes and serving this country with all his life. That is just not how our Constitution intended things to be. I reckon some of them wish they still had Joe. The public, the party, the country deserves better than that. That was undemocratic, it's un-American, and it's just flat wrong.
Yeah.
That's not how this country is set up. The American covenant is expected to be kept by its people and its leaders. It should not be broken.
Amen.
So what's the big deal about our covenant? Well, you know as well as I do that we're approaching 250 years as a nation. Since 1791, about the time we adopted ours, a little bit later than that, France has had 15 constitutions. And that's what people want in this nation.
Yeah.
They want to throw this out because they want to do what they want to do. We're not throwing it out, we're keeping it in Jesus' name. It's a covenant between God and man and this nation, and we're going to keep it. 15. Those people change on a dime. You can do that when you don't have set values that absolutely are the basis of your Constitution. You heard as well as I do, and if you were raised in my day, you grew up with Schoolhouse Rock.
Yep.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Yes, thank you very much. When my get up and go has got up and left, I hanker for a hunk of cheese.
Yep.
Nutrition.
Yep.
And then who can forget the preamble? I almost put it on the screen to make y'all sing it. Decided to show the video instead. Those words are pregnant with covenant language.
Yes.
And some candidates uphold that covenant and some candidates don't. And you should never, ever vote for somebody who will not defend and protect the Constitution. Not as they want it to be, but as it is. We the people, meaning a big people and a small government, not a big government and a little people.
Right.
To form a more perfect union, meaning an advanced, mature union, the soul of the nation, rather than one that divides. Listen carefully. Who is out there dividing based on race? Who's applying Marxist principles in our day? Original Marxism is to get the classes by economics to fight. Well, when you're in a nation like ours, with such a strong middle class, they had to pick something else, and what they picked was race. Well, I'm here to tell you prophetically, they failed. We have moved towards being, amen, a colorblind society, and we will be in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter what you are. It's what you do that matters. We're not buying it anymore. And it's outrageous for somebody to talk to black young men and say, because I'm a black and you're a black person, you should vote for a black person. No, you should vote for the right person. If they're green with horns coming out of their head and they're the right person, that's the person you should vote for. How disrespectful to talk to a demographic that way. You need to know, if you don't know, that not all racism is one direction. And all of it is ungodly. Because if you haven't figured this out yet, we all bleed red. We all have the same organs. We all have the same structure. There's not multiple races. There's one race. The God race. The Adamic race. And if you go far back enough in DNA, you're going to find out if you're black, you got some whites in your line. And if you white and go far back left, you're going to find some blacks in your line. So y'all better start loving on each other. Because they're family. And God help us that the ministers, you know, keep from propagating that. We should be tearing those walls down. Amen. Establish justice, which means convicting the guilty, acquitting the innocent. It means letting the justice system proceed without interference. It means don't use lawfare against politicians you don't agree with. It means don't take away the money that the police need to operate to ensure justice. You don't defund the police and expect crime to go down. You don't experiment with the safety of the people in this nation. City council after city council tried this, and now they're saying, we need the police, we need the police, we need the police. Well, dummy, of course you need the police. To not understand that is not just a matter of policy, it is a constitutional covenant issue. Yep. To police properly and administer justice properly. Mm-hmm. Ensure domestic tranquility. Keep the peace. Not initiate civil arrest and unrest and riots. Not sit back as a sitting governor and watch your city burn for 3 days. To me, that's not just, we just don't want to do anything, you know, because people are expressing themselves. No, you don't get to destroy people's livelihood and what they work for all their lives in the name of your statement. You go to jail for that. And from the Northwest, even in the city of Nashville, people did this, destroyed things because of things like George Floyd, which never should have happened. But you don't destroy a city because of what some stupid cops did in Minneapolis. They got theirs. And may all get theirs that deserve it. Amen. But to sit back for 3 days and do nothing, while most of the businesses that burned were black-owned businesses, it's absolutely outrageous. Amen. I watched a man, he was 76 years old, standing outside watching his business burn, asking the people burning, why are you burning my business? I'm a black man. I've worked hard for this all my life. What are you doing? And to sit back and say, hey, no problem. No, the National Guard should have been called out before the fact. That's called leadership. That's called keeping covenant with the American people. Provide for the common defense means border and national interests are secured. Who tends to strengthen the military or weaken the military? Who pushes, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion on the military versus who poses such nonsense, understanding that the military's job is to go to war for this nation?
Right.
People have been appointed in the past 4 years, not based on their qualifications, but based on various identity politics. Not the most qualified. The Secret Service is filled with people who were appointed not because they were trained well enough, because they were gifted or experienced enough, but because of identity. One candidate was almost, you know, killed from a shooting because of this principle. A couple of those officers didn't even know how to draw and reholster their weapons. They were trained at Tyler Perry's fake White House at his studio outside Atlanta, Georgia. I'm saying to you, this is not just a policy. This is a constitutional covenant issue. If you're going to be president, you do everything you can to protect the American people from threats from the inside and threats from the outside. Are you here today? It means you build up the best military you can to protect us, and it means you shore up our border like an absolutely shut down as a tick. Can I have an amen today?
Amen.
Promote the general welfare means care for one another regardless of party. It's not a call for a welfare state, but for an economic environment that allows all people, regardless of background, to rise up. You've heard the phrase, when the tide rises, it takes us all boats and rises the boats as well. That's the job of the person who would be in that office. The ability to do so is critical. Not to turn the place into a welfare state, but give people the opportunity to cultivate something for themselves. Who increases wealth? Who increases opportunity? Who increases jobs? And who stymies these? That's got to be the basis of your decision, because it's not just a matter of dollars and cents. It's a matter of constitutional compliance. Amen. It is a covenant responsibility to provide an atmosphere where people can do well financially and materially. It also means inspiring people to take action when they see a need out there. Christians do this all the time, but I came across a story about a man named Greg from Orlando, and he met this lady, Mary Jo, who was a homeless person who sat there on the street every single day. But something funny, she never asked for money. She would just sit there. Now, some people would give her money, but she never asked for money. She would just simply say, well, nice to see you today. God bless you. And she'd smile and go on. We began to find out that she hardly had anything, of course, and she didn't have much food. So he invited her to lunch one day. And in the course of doing this, it became a weekly time for them to talk. And she was feeding this homeless, he was feeding this homeless person, you know, lunch every single week. And one day he got to talking to her about it and found out that she couldn't read and she never asked for money, but she did say this, I want you to teach me to read. Which happened. She wasn't saying, help me, help me, help me. She was saying, teach me to read. I'll get a job and I'll take care of myself. That's what she was saying. This woman would take the money she did get from people that passed by and go out and buy books or go to the library and try to read. Amen. That's what we mean by the general welfare. Secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. It should be plain. We need to leave this place better than we got it. It's the first generation that says, you know what, we're going to be worse off than our parents. Well, no, in Jesus' name, you're not going to be.
Amen.
Say it, I'm going to be better.
Amen.
Say it, I'm going to be better.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. It is the blessings of what? Liberty. You have to make up your mind. Who is for liberty and who just wants power?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not the same thing. Say it with me, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Be ordained and established. Do you hear that language? It is covenant language. Not just the preamble, but the Bill of Rights. Ask yourself, who's for free speech? And who doesn't mind censoring the American population when they don't agree with their opinions? Who is it that work with tech, big tech and social media to shut down opposing views on everything from candidates to the COVID virus? In other words, in America, you have the right to be stupid, you have the right to be wrong. But nobody has the right to take that right away from you. Freedom of religion, no matter where we are. Not freedom from religion. The Establishment Clause does not say keep religion out of the government. It says keep the government out of religion.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. Who is for freedom of assembly versus what state governors across the country were having their state police collect license numbers outside churches where they had open air meetings during COVID?
Yeah.
If you don't know, Kentucky was one of them. You know, I love our governor. He gives a good press conference. I'm sorry, but being governor is more than a press conference.
Amen. Amen.
And yet, without even a whimper, the church just said, okay, no big deal. Could you imagine being ticketed for driving into your parking lot today to have an outdoor church service? You have the right to bear arms.
Amen.
And for those who don't understand this, let me say that we're in Kentucky and we're in a big hunting area. This amendment is not the right to hunt. The amendment refers to a well-regulated militia. The right to bear arms shall not be infringed. Context is everything here. You take a candidate who's trying to strip people of their right, they are violating their oath of office. Period. Say, why is this true? Because the people who founded this nation weren't threatened by a rogue bunch of deer. Or a bunch of rabid coyotes. Come on, boys, get them before they get us. They were saying standing armed people in what? Defense of a rogue government. That's why it exists. Well, you don't need anything more than a shotgun. All I can tell you is that this is not even a guns rights issue. It's a constitutional covenant issue. And you have the right to own, but you have a right not to own. But you have no right to tell somebody else they can't own. This is still the United States of America. Amen. And a president should honor God by honoring this covenant.
Amen.
Whatever you believe about COVID and what happened, that's between you and the Lord and whoever else you want to influence. But the forcing of citizens to wear a mask without legislative action is not a constitutional action. The compulsion to make employees in healthcare get vaccinated or lose their job is not constitutional. And then somehow exempting those same institutions from accountability when the people have gotten sick from those vaccinations. This is America. You have the right to wear a mask. You have a right not to. Amen? It's almost Halloween. I don't practice Halloween. Don't advocate Halloween. It's a high night for satanic activity. But if you want to wear a mask, go wear a mask. But just because you're wearing a mask, don't make me put one on. It's not a medical issue. It's not a somehow epidemic issue. It is a constitutional issue, and covenant trumps COVID.
Amen.
And I believe at some point in time, these institutions, whether they are hospitals or schools or businesses, should be held accountable for doing that to their people. As well as our military that were cast aside because of those decisions. It is not a medical issue. It is not a policy issue. It is a constitutional issue. What is not relegated to the United States Constitution is relegated to the states unless it is banned by the Constitution. It is up to the individual states to mandate whatever it's going to be done, and that's not what was done. We had little dictators all over the country in governor's offices. Thank you for your enthusiasm over that. You say, well, I voted for him twice. I'll pray for you. That's your absolute right. Isn't it a great nation? But then change the fact that freedom in this nation is not up for debate. It is a covenant right. The covenant rights should be honored. What candidate defends free speech, the right to assemble, the right to bear arms? Who would fight for these? Anyone who attacks these is a covenant breaker and not worthy of the high office of president.
Amen.
If you will not defend the Bill of Rights and the preamble and the Constitution, you are disqualified because you may say the oath, but you won't mean the oath.
Yep.
How many know we need some people to say what they mean?
Yes.
And mean what they say. There's the biblical assessment, there's the constitutional assessment, and here's the practical assessment. Hallelujah. And hey, I only do this once every 4 years, so hang in there with me. I haven't heard any damn, the door slamming, so that's a good thing. Praise God. See, I refuse to be offended and lose my blessing. The practical assessment. The best way to know what somebody will do in office is what they've already done. Well, I just shortens my sermon by 20 minutes. Yes, it does. Say it with you. The best way to know what somebody will do is what they've already done. And if they did something different than what they're saying, believe what they did, not what they said. Articulation. Who can give cogent responses to important questions? I'm sorry. I really don't want to be offensive. I want to be informative today. But when Mel Gibson was about to get on a plane at LAX the other day, he was asked about his preferences, and he said that Kamala had the IQ of a fence post. That was his response. I really don't understand why you just can't answer a question. I don't. I mean, it's not personal, it's just tell us. Well, what's your plan to deal with inflation? Trump's the fascist. What's your plan to deal with immigration? Well, Trump did this and Trump did it. I know you don't like him, but tell me what you're going to do. The clock is ticking. No, you don't like her because she's a person of color. You don't like her because she's a woman. No, I don't like her because she's stupid. It's not color. It's not misogyny. It is not race. It is one of her own people the other day said, I think that if she was asked her color, her favorite color, she couldn't answer that. Let's talk about Trump's favorite color. Red, white, and blue. That's my favorite color too. Yes. Authenticity. Do they come off real or fake? That's for you to decide. Intelligence. Do they understand the issues and aptly apply real solutions to the problem? Economy. Do they understand how a sound energy policy affects every part of our economy? Truck has to pay more for fuel because you either shut down fuel supplies and exploration. That gets passed down to the people who buy those goods. It gets passed down to us, and you have rampant inflation. It's not rocket science, but somehow some folks can't understand how this works. A few years ago, we were energy independent and exporting energy in this country. You don't know this, many of you, but we have right now more oil in our ground than Saudi Arabia. And there is a way to do both, to protect the environment, the animals, the ecosystem, and also take care of the American people. I'll remind you of this. The birds aren't made in the image of God. The bears aren't made in the image of God. The deer aren't made in the image of God. People come first, not owl, not fish, not tadpoles. Police, do you support the police or you support defunding the police? Couldn't be clearer there. The marginalized, you want to empower them for success or trap them in entitlements and handouts? Drugs, you want to control them or decriminalize and legalize drugs? Folks, you have to protect this nation, not harm this nation. I don't know about you, but I don't want to come across somebody on 94 East smoking dope and it be legalized.
That's right.
Amen. Well, it's not bad for anybody. Well, bless God. It's a gateway drug, folks.
Yes, it is.
And if you don't believe that, see what's happening in Colorado right now and other places where they have legalized this. It's a mess on the highways. It is a mess in their state. All kinds of issues associated with legalizing drugs. And a covenant-keeping president would know better. A covenant-keeping governor and legislature would know better than to do something like that. Amen.
Amen.
I had two fellows from Brazil lived in my room for about a couple years. They were swimmers from Brazil, from São Paulo. And one was Ricardo. He's a nice enough kid, just trying to swim and do his thing. And Fabio was a handful. He was... Even at his age, he was a womanizer and a drug addict. And he bought this big bag of pot from one of our teammates on the swim team. And mom was putting some clothes back in the dresser and found it. I can tell you, you've not had experience until you run into Deputy Doris on something like that. Just tell you. So she's going to contact an FBI agent and ask him what to do with it, you know. So in the meantime, she stuck it in the back of the piano in the living room. And then when she was going to turn it over to him, she went back to get it, and it was gone. The pot was gone. The bag was shredded. The mice had gotten into the pot. I want you to know that song, I Believe I Can Fly, came from those mice. They were soaring. You know how when a mouse will look at you, he'll run? This one did, and he's going like this. And if you think mice got into the food before, that mouse had some munchies going on after that day. Amen. It's just common sense. Covenant keeping. Policy. The border. Should it be closed or open like a sieve? Should a fentanyl be able to flood our city streets? Should sex trafficking of children be allowed? Should criminal elements be allowed in this nation? No. What is that, Pastor? That's not just a part. That is a covenant issue. That is an oath of office issue. And I'll just tell you this, you know, folks say what they're going to do when they get in office. What they're going to do when they get in office. We're going to do that. Why didn't you do it? Why don't you shut it down today? How about save some lives today? Stop some drugs today. Why wait? And I'll tell you why. Because it's one thing to say something in a speech, it's another thing to mean it in your heart. If you cared about the American people, which is what the oath is all about, you'd shut it down today. It's a big time issue. On immigration, it should be legal and controlled. Others feel it should be illegal, chaotic, and dangerous. You know, unless you're a full-blooded Indian here, you immigrated to this land. But I can tell you, I saw immigration materials for some of my ancestors, and they came into Ellis Island, and they came in legally. My mom's family, the Kossel family, they changed their name from K-A with the umlaut over S-S-E-L to Kossel, C-O-S-S-E-L. They Americanized the name, but they went through and they did it correctly. And I'll tell you this, why do the people coming up from the southern border, why are they better than the rest of us? Amen. They should obey the law Amen. As well. The military built up as a deterrent or decrease our war readiness. Focus on DEI and electric vehicles. And we have horrible, you know, withdrawals like from Afghanistan. We had 13 of our people that were killed, and thousands of Afghanis have been killed since. And that day falling off of the side of C-17 aircraft as they were taken off with people on the inside of them, a horror show. And that kind of thing should never, ever, ever happen. Ever. I heard one of the generals who was pushing the DEI initiatives actually talking about converting our military vehicles to electric vehicles. Can you imagine? Just stop and think. One magnetic pulse weapon and we're dead. I'm thinking to myself, you graduated from West Point. When did you take the stupid pills? Again, it goes back to the best way to defend this nation, not push some woke agenda. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Demonization. Are candidates focused on policy or just attacking the person? I don't think they should call Kamala names, and I don't think the former president should be called fascist. Understand how horrible a fascist is. 6 million Jews. Millions of other nationalities at the hands of Hitler. Over 30 million at the hands of Mao. Somebody's not a fascist because you don't agree with them politically. What a day we're living in. We have a black mayor of New York telling the Democrats calling Trump a fascist to shut up. What a wonderful day when people are putting truth above party identification. International affairs. Folks, we're in a mess right now. And China's operations on around Taiwan and what Russia is doing, Korean troops going in to fight on behalf of Russia. The situation in the Middle East, we have to have somebody who can at least answer a question. Amen. Government departments should be staffed with the highest quality and the best trained and qualified. Not because they're a certain gender or a certain look or a certain sexual orientation. The best. Everybody say it with you, the best. One of the most important aspects of the biblical, as well as the covenantal, as well as the practical, is where a candidate stands on Israel. And I didn't belabor this one because we had a whole day dedicated to this, but I'll just say it again. The Bible still says this very powerfully. I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. How many of y'all want this nation to be blessed? Anyone who wants that office should be over the top for Israel. Not in their business, not manipulating them, not pushing them, but for them. And you clearly have a distinction in this election on the biblical, amen, on the covenantal regarding the Constitution and the practical. And I believe that every born-again, spirit-filled Christian can discern what God is saying in this day and hour and act accordingly. Now, I don't want to keep you much longer, but I do want to say something about Amendment 2 that's coming up on your Kentucky vote here in a couple of weeks. Amendment 2, all it actually does is allows the legislature to allow parents to send their kids wherever they want to go to school. Cross county lines, cross town if they want to, private school, parochial school, Catholic school, Christian school, Hope Harbor Academy, whatever it is. In other words, the money follows the student. Now, I want to say without any confusion here, the problem here is not our public school teachers. Period. Give them a hand clap. We have some in this room now. It's not the problem. The response to those opposed this get on the airwaves and say, well, that shouldn't happen. The money should go to raising the salaries of teachers. I agree, teachers should be raised. It should go to having an inducement to pull more people into the teaching profession in Kentucky. I agree, that's a great thing. It should be for smaller classroom size. I'm all for that. I'm for it. They said they want to put that money towards pre-K. I say, what a universal pre-K. What a great idea to get all the kids off to a great start. My question is, you've had all the money all this time. Why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do it? Suddenly, Amendment 2 comes up, and now you're saying that we can't do this because of Amendment. No, trust me when I say this, we will always fund the public schools in this country. Well, I'll tell you this, that somebody better be able to and have the ability to choose a school other than the ultra rich. The middle class that are working so hard to put even bacon on the table and the working poor should be able to send their kids where they want them to go. And the people like the governor who are sending their kids to private schools should understand that. If you send your kid to a private school, do not lecture somebody else wanting to do the same thing. It's totally about individual decision and choice. So I know how I'm going to vote on it. Amen. Why? Because I have noticed some things since we started our academy. And give our academy staff a hand clap. They did a great job. Amen. That's exactly right. Wonderful. The spiritual environment is second to none anywhere in this region. And academically, our kids are outpacing their public school counterparts. I believe there's an anointing on our staff to do this. and are called to do this. It's something God has called us to do, to get involved, put our anointing in every level of education, from the smallest to the oldest. And that's coming one day, amen?
Yes.
One day you'll see a full-blown campus, college campus, amen, wherever God wants us to put it. But you start with what you have. And, you know, we're not really a threat to anybody, but this is how things work when your worldviews clash. What you don't know is, in this town, an elementary teacher stood up and told their class, there's no such person as Jesus. He never existed. Yeah. Why would you do that? I didn't say Chicago, California. I said Murray, Kentucky. After starting this school, somebody from somewhere in the system called the fire marshal on our academy. Fire marshal comes by and goes, I don't know what the problem is here. Everything is in order. Another person called the health department on us. Nothing out of order with our food service, with our prep service, with our kids, with our facilities. And that one made the county judge executive so mad, he called an emergency board meeting over that kind of behavior from the health department. Are you seeing a pattern here? See, I know these things, but I feel as part of this church, you're not just attenders, you're owners in this ministry, amen. You're part of this ministry. Yes. One of our parents had the kids with lice, and the school told them and propagated the idea that it was somehow because Hope Harbor kids went on a youth retreat and brought the lice into the school. We have a real problem out there, administratively. Just the past couple of weeks, Bryce was telling me that there was a couple that was investigating kindergarten. Isn't that right, Bryce? And they went to a local school, and the official there said to them that if they go to our school and then come to their school next year, they'll have to repeat kindergarten. Patent. Outright untruths. And I'm asking myself, why? They must see what I see. We're going to have 500 kids one day. They must be agreeing with us on this or something. I don't know. But why? I've been here a long time. And I've never seen the fire marshal have a problem with this. And I have never seen the health department show up. Mm-hmm. All I can tell you is what God likes, the devil hates. God blesses the enemy opposes, and sometimes people don't even know that they're tools. Smile at somebody and say, don't be a tool. My goal today was just to let you know that every election is really critical, but where we stand today, you need to assess these two candidates on the Word of God. You need to assess them on which one has the potential to, based on behavior, support and defend the Constitution of the United States, and which one has the practical chops to help this nation in a time of crisis. It's entirely up to you what you do. Amen. And I would encourage you, when you think about what not to do, you would apply those in this situation. And not just vote yourself, but tell other people, go out there and vote. Ask people, have you done that? It's so important. That you do so. You say, well, Kentucky seems to be going one way anyway. It doesn't matter. Remember what I said to you. Your vote is a seed of spiritual influence in this nation just by casting the thing. Amen. Can you receive this today?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap and thank him.